This morning we'd like to look at the body, and one of the things we want to think about as we think about the church and the body is what are we in this body? I want you to first turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We'll begin reading with verse number 23. Matthew 18 and 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of the servants. When he had beckoned to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee off. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorrow, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you give your heart, forgive not every one his brother that trespasses. You know, you can say many things about this parable, and there's a great lesson in forgiveness, and many lessons therein, no doubt, but there's one thing that definitely stands out, is that those in the kingdom were servants. You know, those that served the kings, they were in the kingdom. They were servants. Matthew chapter 20, we will begin reading verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saying to them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man has hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servants, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they had supposed they should have received more. They likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. Thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto his last, even as unto thee. And it is it not lawful for me to do with what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, for many are called, but few chosen. And there are many wonderful lessons in that parable also. But there's one thing that stands out. They were servants. They were servants in God's kingdom. You know, we're all servants in the body of Christ. Sometimes we forget this, that we are here in the body as servants. In Matthew 20 and 25, it says, but Jesus called unto them, and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they are great, exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So again, the Lord is teaching us, we're servants. We are to serve one another. Look over in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, we begin here with verse 42. It says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. And verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunkards, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You see, again, in the kingdom, we're servants. We are servants of God. I wonder how we're servants. How do you think that you're serving? Read in Matthew 25, begin reading verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he had received 5 talents, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, behold, I've gathered besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee rule over many things, enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. He also received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents, and behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee rule over many things, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said unto him, said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strong. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast set aside. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strong. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own usage. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant out of darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit up on the throne of his glory. Let us realize that in the body we're doers, we're servants. We're in the church, servants. Matthew 7:21, he said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. We're doers. We're servants of Jesus Christ. We serve in his kingdom and his church. We serve each other. And in so doing, we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's still talking about the body in particular, which the body is the church, the kingdom of God. We'll start reading with verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many and one body, so also is Christ. And so we're all members of that one body, every one of us. For by one Spirit you're all baptized in one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, I've been made all to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would it hear? And if the whole body were hearing, where would it smell it? But now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, just pleased him. And if they were all one member, where was the body? But now are there many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which we seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncommon parts have more abundant commonness. For our common parts have no need, but God has set tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, or that meaning division, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we see that we're all part of this body, members in particular. Every one of us have a way in which we are served in the body. We serve as this part or that part or some other part, but it doesn't matter. But all the parts are pulled together by God to make the body for a particular purpose, for serving Jesus Christ. Consider our physical body. The church is much like that. It has a head. And that head, this head, it controls and directs the body with everything it does. My head controls my hands, my feet, my arms, where they lie. And all the directions from the head flows down into the body and even controls the things that move and parts that you don't know about and have no feeling or no knowledge of taking place, like your liver or your lungs and your heart and your stomach and all things in there and your kidneys and all these things that work without you realizing it's doing anything. Even all of that is controlled by that head. And when we look at the church and the body in the same way, Jesus Christ is that head. He is that head. No man, no person on earth is over the church. No preacher is over the church. No pope, no anyone is over the church, because Christ is the head of the church. In Ephesians 1:22, it says, put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the head of the body is Jesus Christ. You and I are not the head. We are parts of the body. That's all we are. Every one of us have a different part of the body, just like on our body. There are different parts to our body, and they all make up that one body. And so are we in Christ. We are simply parts. And what part might we be? Think about what part we might be. The hands are busy doing things, cutting grass, trimming hedges, sweeping floors, cleaning boards, cleaning bathrooms, you know, writing letters, reaching out to help others and doing things for other people. The hands go out and do. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have opportunity, therefore let us do good unto all men, especially to the household of faith. The feet, they make movement. They move things. The feet. That's what allows us to move, is our feet. Our feet just makes us different from trees, because we can use those feet and go places. A tree always has to be in the same place. The feet, they move things. They do things like spread the gospel. They like take the word out to other places. They go out in different ways. They're moving things and making movement take place. They help the church to get prepared to build buildings, to add on and do things. You know, the feet is one that make things move, make things happen. In Ephesians 6:15, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace. And then there's the backbone. You know, the backbone is something that's very important to man. Our backbone is what allows us to stand upright and to walk on two feet. Our bones and skeleton structures is what allows us to be able to move and do things. If it were not for the bones in our backbone in particular, it would be like worms. That's what allows us to stand up, to take a stand, to be upright. And so there are those in the church that are here. They're like the backbone. They're here. They're always here. They can be counted on. That's the backbone of the church. And they enable us to stand. In Ephesians 6 and 14 it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the blessed plate of righteousness." So the church has to take a stand, and it does stand. And it stands for the truth. It is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And as we consider our bodies, there's something that flows through called the blood. Blood is the life-giving force to our body, and it has to flow through all the members of our body. All the parts of our body are fed by this blood, and this blood that flows through the body is like the love that people have between one another in the church, the love that they have for the brothers and sisters in Christ. This blood that flows through the body, throughout the body, from all the different members. Romans 12 and 9, he says, "Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." You know, let love be without partiality or dissimulation, without division. The heart is what pumps the love, the blood throughout the body. So the heart's in the body is what pumps the blood through the body. And the body of Christ may have more than one heart involved. 1 Peter 1:22, "Seeing you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren." See, if you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, each one of us connect. It's part of us. It's the heart function of pumping the blood from through us and on to somebody else. Passing the love on from one person to another. The mouth, it speaks and it proclaims the words of God. The mouth is like those that stand up and edify and teach in the church. Those that go out into the streets and proclaim and preach the gospel of Christ. The mouth is what speaks and proclaims the words of God. In Romans 10:14, he says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And that body has eyes. The eyes are open and looking and seeing. The eyes gather information. They see what's going on. They see things that need to be done. The eyes, they look to the future of what's needed for the future. And they look to the mistakes that were made and see the things that's been made and mistakes done wrongly. And they see how to prevent those things in the future. The eyes, they are looking. They're seeing and gathering information. Proverbs 29:18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law is happy." You see, the eyes, they see and they have vision. The stomach is that what feeds the church. Acts 20:28, he told those elders there to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood, were to feed the church. And Peter, he says, "Desire the sincere measure of the word thereby, that you may grow thereby." Desire the sincere measure of the word, that you may grow thereby. And so, you know, as newborn babies, we're to feed on the word and grow on the word. And the stomach is that which provides food and nourishment and feeds. Then there's the body, parts of the body we do not notice to pay much attention to. But yet, they are very important. Your hand couldn't function properly without the arm. Your legs couldn't move. Your feet couldn't move properly without the legs. And you know there's some parts of your body that you never know that it's ever moved or done anything. Like your liver. Are you kidding me? But woe unto us if something goes wrong in one of those parts. We're in trouble, big time trouble. If something happens to those inner parts that we don't see or realize and know that are working, even little glands, your pituitary glands, your thyroid gland. If you start having trouble with that thyroid gland, you have big problems. And so it is in the church. There are parts of the body we don't realize what to do or see or know or what's going on, but the head does. God knows. And those parts are important. And they're needed and needful. each and every one of us are part of the body of Christ, and we're needed. We have a part, a function, a place to play, a thing that we perform for the Lord. You know, some people think about, well, if the only way you can serve is to warm the pew. I've heard this many times. The only way you can serve is to sit on the bench. You'd be the best bench warmer or sitter on the bench that there ever was. Without those who come and sit on the bench, there'd be nobody to preach to, there'd be nobody to sing to, there'd be nobody to work with. The church would be in an awful condition. In Ephesians 4:23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lies, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We're all members one of another. Sometimes we don't realize that we are members of a body. And this body is supposed to be a closely knit together body. We all have a single thread that flows through every one of us. And that is Jesus Christ. We're all part of that body, the body of Christ. And if one of us has suffered, we all suffer together. Like he said in 1 Corinthians 12:26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And you think about it on your body. You know, if you got a little old sore, the rest of your body's concerned about that sore. I just got bit by a spider about 4 months ago. I'm so concerned about that thing, I'm wearing a little patch on it. You know, if your hand gets hurt, if your foot gets hurt, if you start having problems with your stomach, the rest of your body is concerned about that, and they want to make sure it gets well and start working and that it's healthy. And so it should be in the church. And so it is in the church. If one of us is sick, then we all need to be sick with it. He says in Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, and forbearing one another in love. We are to bear with one another and bear one another's burdens. And so doing, we will carry the cross of Christ and we will fulfill the law of Christ. In Galatians 6:2, it says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You having problems? The brethren, the church, we need to know, and so we can help each other. When I'm having problems, I need to share, and you need to share, and we need to be able to help one another. In Galatians 5:13, he says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of sin, but love, by love, serve one another. We're servants, you see. God put us everyone in the kingdom to be servants. And we're here to serve each other in the kingdom. We're here one for the other. It's kind of like what the thing the three musketeers said. I kind of like that, one for all and all for one. That's the way it's to be. That's the way God designed it to be. We're here for each other. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In Romans 12:10, it says, be kindly affectionate one toward another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. We should prefer each other over the world and over others that are in the world. We have this common thread, our care for Christ. And we have this blood flowing through us of our love for the Lord and love for one another. This tie should be closer than our physical ties, than our physical blood. I'm so thankful for my family and that are in the flesh that are in the church. Because I have a special relationship with them that I can't have with the rest of my family. That I don't have with others in my family. And we have a closer bond because we're tied together, not only together in the flesh with the blood, but we're tied together in the body of Christ. In Galatians 5:15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed, should be not consumed one of another. You know, sometimes that's a problem in churches. I don't think we have that problem, but it's there. It's a problem. We need to be aware of it. That we're here for one another, not to destroy one another, not to bite one another, not to harm one another, not to tear down one another, but to pull us together in the body of Christ. Because we're all part of the one body. What part of the body are you? You have a part. You are part of the body. Realize your function, realize your place, and fulfill it. What part of the body do you wish to be? do you desire to be? You know, if a part of our body gets isolated, what becomes of it? If I was to cut the circulation off to my hand, what would become of my hand? It would turn purple, it would turn black, it would die, and I'd lose my hand. Sometimes people have to have parts of their feet amputated or their legs cut off because the circulation is cut off and they're not getting blood to it anymore. And it cannot be kept. So they have to cut it off to keep the rest of the body healthy, or at least alive. You know, if we lose a part of our body, we've all lost a lot. No matter which part you might think is being lost, it's all important to the body. And God put it in a body that pleased Him. And so when we see a part of the body that's about to be lost, we need to, every one of us, be truly concerned with that as to how we might, or what might we do, or how we might be of help to bring it back to health in the body. One of our members leaves, it is a great loss to us all. Are you a part of the body of Christ this morning? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 tells us how we become a part of this body. He says, for by one Spirit we're all baptized in one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, we'll be bond free. For we've all been made drink into that one Spirit. If you're here this morning, you're not a part of the body, we give you the opportunity to become a part of that body in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're part of the body, perhaps you need the prayers of the brethren. You might need to confess faults or problems. You know, James said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. Through confession, we're made strong. Through confession and prayer, we're washed and cleansed by the Spirit of God, and we're kept stronger in the body and well in the body. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the gospel call in the way. It's not only baptized into Christ, become a part of His body, or to come and ask Him for the prayers that you might be cleansed and made stronger, and we give you that opportunity to come as we stand and sing.